The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Scott Barber.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to me on America's Web Radio. Today, we're going to continue our conversation on critical thinking. That has been my passion of late, is trying to get everybody to sort of look at the world around us and figure out how we navigate this increasingly corrupt world where we get lied to routinely by the media. Forces out there are trying to mislead us and prevent us from making our own decisions about our own life. More and more government is intruding on the most important decisions that we make. And as you know, healthcare is a passion of mine, and I am a very big believer in free market healthcare. I want to get back to a time when the doctor-patient relationship was sacrosanct and that doctors fully had the best interest of their patients in mind and were not so manipulated by the current system of a one-size-fits-all government-run top-down healthcare system where we're increasingly being forced to listen to a so-called panel of experts and less likely or less allowed to do critical thinking on our own. We're constantly being told don't do your own research, that we have to leave everything up to the experts. We're told to ignore our own eyes. And if we try and challenge the regime, we get labeled as deniers and anti-science type people. And this is simply not the case. We are a free people, and we deserve to be able to have open and honest conversations about the issues that affect our lives and those lives of our children. And I, for one, will not be lectured by a government and told to behave. Now, one of the things that I've been trying to do is use the words of the people that are trying to manipulate us and point out how they have purposely misled us on some of the most important issues of the day. And I would like you guys to be able to see the strategy or the tactics that they use so you'll be able to spot them in the future when it's tried again. And believe me, it will be tried again. We can see that they're already setting up the next healthcare issue to try and manipulate us. Now, it seems these days when something happens in the news, they sort of talk about it for a minute, and if it's not something that the people in power want us to know about, they sort of memory hole it, and we just stop talking about it. When I was a kid, during the Watergate hearings, every single day you came home, you turned the TV on. Back in those days, there were only three channels and then the UHF channel, so there wasn't much on. And when the evening news came on, you had news on every channel, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and they had a complete control of the narrative. And every single day for what seemed like years, the first thing they would talk about is Watergate. And I would ask my father, Dad, what's Watergate? Because it was on the TV all the time. And my father would always say, it's a hotel. And that became a running joke in our household for a very long time. But I think back on it, something like Watergate, where the regime the people in power, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they had an interest in getting Nixon out of office, and so they pushed the Watergate issue. And this is not a show about Watergate, but the point is they used a political issue to achieve their political ends. And they did it by manufacturing a lot of facts and issues. Well, not much has changed these days, except that there are more counter networks out there. There's more free speech. And when there's more free speech, we have the opportunity to hear the information for ourselves and make our own decisions. And it seems like we're caught in a battlefield of competing narratives. And we've seen terms like misinformation, like hate speech, like follow the science, like you must listen to the experts to try and control the narrative on various issues of the day. And healthcare has been front and center of that. Of course, COVID to me over the past few years has been the most enlightening experience of my lifetime to be able to see just how pernicious this narrative control and this propagation of you know, what I would say are false facts to control us. And I'm interested in people being able to see the playing field. Now, I was taught by my father that you never believe anybody just because of their education or their title or their position, that you should always think for yourselves. I was always trained to do my own research, and I never take important issues at face value, that you needed to study them on your own. And, you know, one of the things I've learned in the last few years is that you can read scientific articles that will say in the headline, you know, A, but then when you actually read the body of evidence, the evidence says anti-A. And so it's more important than ever that we learn how to spot these tactics that they use to try and manipulate the way we think, and that we all learn to critically think for ourselves. Because in this coming age of artificial intelligence, it's going to be more and more difficult to discern the truth. We've gotten to a point now where we're putting tampons in the boys' bathroom, and I think enough said on that, right? If you're not sane enough to know that that is a crazy concept, then, you know, there's really no point in having a discussion. And, you know, I was just talking with a friend the other day that it's getting more and more difficult to debate issues with people because they keep changing the language, and you can't even start off by saying, hey, this is an apple, we can agree on that, and let's move on. And you'll get people, no, that's not an apple. And it makes it very difficult to discuss important issues, because we can't agree on a basic set of facts. Now, I want to play a little montage. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite cuts. It's of the founder of the Weather Channel on CNN being interviewed. And he basically says what I always want to say, right to the face of the host. And fortunately, I'm blanking on his name right now, which means he's been out for a while. But he was a longtime host of CNN, and he really has lost all credibility. I want you to hear this little interchange where the founder of the Weather Channel talks about climate change. Stand by.
I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
Now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
I know
though,
we're
is
not,
when you
because
see...
Because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN... But I'm happy that I got on the air and got a chance
here for several
to talk
minutes.
To your viewers. Hello, everybody. No global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party of position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you've got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple.
So, Brian Stelter, right? That's the CNN guy. What you see here is a lot of the tactics and the sort of the shtick that they use in everything. And I'm going to try and point this out a couple more times over the course of the show today. But you see, we're simply trying to have a conversation about climate change. And listen, like most normal people, if there's an issue with the world and, you know, we can have an impact on it, of course I want to discuss it and see what sort of policies we could put into place to make a happier, healthier planet. Of course I would be into that. But what we're doing now is what we're seeing is there's sort of this one-sided narrative where they tell us climate change is happening and they start implementing all kind of government policies that require tax dollars to be funded or to be sent to places that the government deems necessary, and we don't really have a say in it. And they're trying to use this climate change issue as a method of controlling people. They're trying to implement taxes on it. And you see the way the world works is, you know, you had the Paris Climate Accord, where they implement these taxes and this, you know, this new, I forget what you call it, but basically your environmental score. And they want to be able to control people's movements and all sorts of things based on your commitment to this climate. And by implementing this climate change policy and this idea that there's this existential threat to the planet, they take our money in the form of tax dollars, and they're basically fleecing us. And what was nice here is to see the founder of the Weather Channel get into the face of Brian Stelter on CNN and flat out call him a liar. Now, that's a classic one. You know, also, you saw Brian Stelter use a lot of the tactics, right? Like, this guy, the founder of the Weather Channel, is making some statement, and he's like, well, you're going against NASA and all the government agencies and 97% of climate scientists, which is always a funny statistic to me, right? You're telling me 97% of climate scientists. I mean, where do you get this number? Like, show me the list of 100% of climate scientists. And who gets to be deemed a climate scientist? And, you know, the guy pointed it out. It's the people that will go along with the narrative that the regime wants are the people that get deemed climate scientists. And if you go against it, there's not going to be any funding for you. There's no money for you. And that's how they control the narrative. And it doesn't just happen in climate science. It's happening in all kinds of science. And we've showed that many times on this show. So I've just gone through a week where, you know, I've had to access the healthcare system as a patient, and I've had several members of my family have some fairly significant health issues. And sadly, we haven't been able to get into a doctor in a timely fashion and get the treatment that we needed. And I had to play my doctor card, which is always a bad sign. Whenever you need political connections to function, you know that we are falling further and further towards this mock Marxist, socialist, communist paradigm where we don't really have freedom, that it's actually our political connections that allow us to succeed. And we're seeing this happen in the healthcare system. I had a friend whose son had a fairly severe injury. They called me and were at the emergency room, and this person was unable to get any pain medicine for a very significant injury. And it's really frustrating to me every time I see it, because there's a lot of politics around the use of opioids these days. And in my opinion, they are trying to pin a lot of this so-called opioid crisis on doctors over-prescribing opioids, when that is not the case. Now, are there situations where doctors over-prescribe? Absolutely, but that's the way the world works. Decisions have to be made. And when we try to cede those important decisions to the government, what happens is we get movement in one direction that is not surgical, meaning it's not on a case-by-case issue. It's just a one-size-fits-all, and a lot of people get harmed. And that is one of the biggest things that I have seen over the past decades. When I was coming out, we were trained that pain was a fifth vital sign, you know, blood pressure, heart rate, respiration, temperature, and then pain level. And it was rightly so that we were trained that way, because in a lot of times when you're dealing in medicine, you're very focused on the problem, and sort of what the patient is experiencing sometimes becomes an afterthought. And it's not necessarily that we don't care about the patient. It's just we get sidetracked. And so it takes training to consider how the patient is feeling and to put effort into providing the appropriate pain medicine. And I thought that was an appropriate part of treatment. And in my line of work as an orthopedic surgeon, I see patients with very severe injuries, and it's barbaric to not give pain medicine. And because the politics of opioids has gotten so toxic these days, and because the government overseeing the prescription of these medications has become so punitive against doctors, doctors are just afraid to prescribe it. And so what we see is patients in these very painful situations being denied appropriate medicine. And, you know, this person called me, and I was just, you know, listen, you have to go up and ask and ask and ask. And after about 6 hours into this issue, they finally got some appropriate medicine. And it didn't used to be like that when we had a doctor-patient relationship, and doctors fidelity was directly to the well-being of their patient. Now, I also had another family member who had a very scary medical situation. They went to go see the primary doctor, and they needed a surgical procedure. And it was a very scary situation. And of course, we couldn't get in to see a doctor for over a month and a half. And so, of course, I had to call in some favors to make sure that this person got seen. And fortunately, everything got taken care of in a reasonable amount of time. And it turned out not to be serious. And it just reinforced in my mind that it shouldn't be this way. We should all be able to have access to a doctor that cares about our well-being, and it is focused on taking care of us. And the more and more government takes over, the more and more we see this imprecise care, this one-size-fits-all care that's not. When you have a one-size-fits-all care system, it doesn't fit very well for any individual. And so what happens is you get a worse care for everybody, and then you see these delays in care. And that's what happens when you don't have a free market. And I want you guys to see what's going on with this so that you can vote accordingly. Now, I always think, for me, the best thing about COVID was that we can learn a lot from the whole episode. Because what happened during the time of COVID was you had a situation where a medical situation dovetailed with a political situation, and you saw the politics really try to take over the medical side. You also saw the corporate side, where there was a lot of money to be made, and when these forces, the corporations making money, the government needing power, and the medical system being used as a tool to accomplish both tasks, we saw them really overplay their hand. And if we do a forensic analysis of everything that happened in COVID, we can see the corruption clear as day, and we can also educate ourselves so that we don't allow it to happen to us again in the future. Now, I apologize for playing this stuff over and over again, but I really want to pound it into your head what's going on here. This idea of you have to pay attention to the experts, and that you can't do your own research, and that to ask questions about anything makes you a denier, or if you say something that you're creating hate speech or that you're being racist. And these are just ridiculous tools that are preventing us from getting to the truth. And we should be able to have open, honest debate about any issue so that we can arrive at conclusions that are accurate and that are based in truth. And so we don't end up in situations where we're spending taxpayer money to put tampons in the boys' restrooms of public schools, which again, if I have to explain to you how crazy that is, then you're lost. Now, when we were coming around with the COVID pandemic, we saw people in power, politicians, media people, business, tycoons coming out saying, you have to get the vaccine. It works. If you don't take it, you're being an idiot. And I just want to remind you of what people were saying, back when COVID was first coming around. I want you to hear this montage of politicians and powerful people.
Not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Getting vaccinated and getting a booster shot when eligible can save your life and protect you and your family and friends from getting seriously ill and spreading infection.
Hang on a sec. Sorry about that. Here we go.
I think the probability is 80%.
Personally, I think it's 100%. I think that there's a reduction in transmission.
COVID if you have these vaccinations.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection.
Fauci.
For the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Rachel Maddow.
A vaccinated person.
Why would you ever listen to her again?
The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
But when we look at the emergency use authorization, which is right on the screen, if you look what it says under transmission, this is what was known the moment they were making those statements. Can I have the next slide, please? What was known was that the data are not there, limited to assess the effects of the vaccine against transmission of SARS-CoV-2. They had no idea. They had no idea if it would stop the infection, yet they were making those statements on the news.
Plus, the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market. If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
So what you're seeing here is powerful people, Fauci, head of agencies, the NAID. You saw Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. We saw Rachel Maddow, MSNBC host, and a number of other powerful people, Richard Marks, that were telling us that the vaccine was effective, that it stopped it, and that, you know, if you don't take the vaccine, then you are, you know, essentially, you know, they made it sound like you were engaging in crimes against humanity and criminal behavior. There was no equivocation there that they were making the assertion that it was totally safe and effective. Now, as regular citizens, we are normally, you know, at least for me, before COVID, I would have listened to a lot of these agencies. But now when I listen to these people and I know that this turned out not to be true, now you can call it whatever you want, but this does not seem to be an honest error. It doesn't seem to me that they were making an effort to be truthful and they just got it wrong. Okay. It seems like something else. Now, when you look at the effect that this had on people, you also see at the end there, they're having a government, hearings, congressional hearings to sort of review these sorts of things. And they're making notes like, during the emergency use authorization, that they didn't have any studies that supported that they were safe and effective in the way they were making these claims. And it seems like we're just memory holing this stuff and move on. And it's not that it seems like that. It is that. And that's why I'm doing this show, is I don't want to memory hole this stuff. I want you guys to look at it and I want you to think clearly. Now, Here's from Hat Tip Grabian. This is another montage of powerful people, politicians and media figures, agency leaders telling us that, you know, you need to get vaccinated in a forceful way. Stand by. Stand by.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that, that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
Okay, that was Jake Tapper and Sanjay Gupta. If you ask questions, now they're just like, are you insane? Are you the dumbest person alive? Are you evil? Sanjay Gupta, a doctor, saying, using his credibility as a so-called expert, telling you that if you don't, you know, follow their recommendations, that you're gross. This is more than just a recommendation. This is like trying to browbeat you into compliance.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth.
Listen to the experts.
Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
Follow the science.
Science is truth. What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not
You see, the tool here is, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, like, hey, man, it's kind of weird that I put a mask on, which, by the way, I would always say, what is a mask? Define it for me. They never really defined what it was. It was anything on your face, which made no sense to me as a scientist. I would walk into a restaurant with my mask on, but then I would sit down at the table. I would take it off. I would eat. And then I'll put it back on to leave the restaurant. And this never made any sense to me. And so I wanted to ask questions. And this tactic is designed to get you not to ask questions. They're trying to make you feel like you're a bad person or you're a dumb person by asking questions. And you guys need to recognize this so that you never let it happen to you again.
The truth. By not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated.
Are you vaccinated?
I am triple vaccinated.
So why are you wearing a mask?
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists. Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research. Makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Republicans have given their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists. Do that.
Let's listen to the scientists.
Phrase, do your own research. It's popping up a lot in conversations about coronavirus and about COVID vaccines. Doing your own research, it seems so innocent, but it can have serious consequences. Renee, what?
Can you imagine we live in a world, Brian Stelter, telling us that doing our own research is a bad thing? I mean, you know, I'm old enough to know, like, man, this is like, what is happening to this planet where doing my own research, confirming information is somehow a negative thing. And it's just shocking to me. You hear the tone of these people, you know, that you're all of the buzzwords, right? Follow the science, listening to the scientists, don't be a denier. You know, all of the same techniques that they're trying to get. And by the way, this montage comes from Cat Turd, at Cat Turd 2 on Twitter. He's a great follow. But let's continue with this.
The roots of this phrase, I feel like I used to hear it around QAnon craziness.
Tase somebody over a mask. Tase this lady over not wearing a mask.
If some jerk exposed my mother,
you're a jerk,
to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
We can watch the experts, but we shouldn't be listening to Trump, a non-medical professional.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right around about a lot of things, and he's a steep learning curve in global health.
So these people are telling you don't listen to Trump, but listen to Bill Gates. You see, that is them. They are the ones that get to decide who is an expert and who isn't.
And we're really seeing just how important it is to follow
Greta
science.
Thunberg.
Yes, yes, exactly. And we need to listen to scientists.
The idea that people are questioning the science behind the vaccine.
The science checks out. Even if you don't believe in the science, you think you're tough enough and you're healthy enough and you're young enough. The scientists were right all along. Eventually, the science catches up with you.
So they keep talking about the science, and during this time, I wanted to talk about the science out loud, and I was always shocked that they never did discuss it. They simply told you whatever it is they wanted you to hear, and any dissent was crushed.
Be doing more harm than good by questioning the science behind J&J.
Trust that vaccine.
Trust the experts.
Listen to the medical experts.
Trust the experts.
If you don't understand the science, you don't know what you're fighting. Just let the experts speak. So maybe you should just shut up right now.
You don't want to take advice from your golf buddy or from your aunt. You want to listen to the scientists.
And we all stop saying, I need to do my own research.
You see the ultimate effects of what happens when you don't listen to the scientist.
This isn't about being scared. This is about scaring us straight.
Science, science, and science. Only listen to the scientist.
If we follow science, imagine instead of staying locked up in their rooms, they're able to hug their grandchildren.
This isn't about freedom. It's about freedom for your neighbors.
You can give each other a hug as long as everyone is fully vaccinated.
Listen to the scientists like the rest of us.
We have to listen to the scientists.
We'll listen to the scientists.
Every scientist, every expert, listen to the experts.
Listen to the science because the science works.
Very much.
Yeah.
I think trust science.
Okay, so I think that puts a fine point on the way that they wanted to...
Don't be afraid of COVID.
On the way they wanted to manipulate you by getting you to submit your own instincts, your own intelligence, your own research to people that they deem to be more educated. So I think we've clearly demonstrated that there was a time when they came out and guaranteed us that the vaccine was safe and effective. They implored us to become vaccinated and to follow their rules. And when that wasn't working, then they resorted to flat out name calling, you know, threatening, and this really iron-fisted push to get everybody into compliance. We're going to go to commercial right now. We'll be right back in a minute and pick it up on the other side. You're listening to Dr. Scott Barber on the Doctor's Lounge. This is America's Web Radio, and we'll be right back.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to me on America's Web Radio. We just got finished playing a montage that I got from Grabian, where we saw a lot of political leaders, three-letter agency leaders, news organizations, or I should say news in air quotes, because they don't really seem to be spreading the news anymore, telling us that we have to become vaccinated, that we have to follow the rules, or we're otherwise anti-science or anti-person or somehow a bad person. So we saw these same types of people, many of them the same people, telling us, guaranteeing us that it was safe and effective. I always loved the Rachel Maddow. It stops. If you get vaccinated, it can't use you as a host to go on to somebody else. Super smug, super arrogant. And I'm always wondering, when something like that happens, why does anybody listen to these people anymore? So I just showed you all this stuff, them guaranteeing us that it works, them using tactics to browbeat us into compliance. Now I want to play you a montage of leaders who told us that the vaccine was safe and effective, and then in a quick cut, it also has video of them admitting that they just contracted COVID. And we're going to see Biden, Fauci, Trudeau, Daniel Andrews is the Victorian premier, Anthony Albanese, the prime minister of Australia, and then we're going to also see the chief health minister of Australia. They're all going to tell us that the vaccines are effective, and then they're going to be admitting that they contracted it.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID.
And when people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
Dr. Fauci says he has COVID again.
If you've done the right thing and gotten vaccinated, you deserve the freedom to be safe from COVID-19. And this morning, I learned I tested positive for COVID-19 as well.
Three doses that could be prevented, not just from serious illness, but from getting this virus, this Omicron variant, and therefore giving it to others.
Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews is in quarantine for 7 days after testing positive to COVID.
I'm fully vaccinated. It gives me some comfort.
Anthony Albanese has just tested positive for coronavirus.
Having received two doses of AstraZeneca, it's a very effective vaccine, protection from symptomatic illness and therefore risk of transmission to others.
So we got a situation here where you've got a group of people that are in positions of authority, that are in positions of education. They're in the know, and they're telling us something demonstrably. This is not an insinuation. They're demonstrably telling us, you know, you take the vaccine, you're going to be safe. And then it's like, oh, I got it. And somehow people just sort of memory hole this. And I'm thinking to myself, if these people told me this, then the next thing that they tell me, I'm going to be less likely to believe, you know, like anything they try to tell me about other issues of the day, like Ukraine or the border or, you know, our fiscal policy. It's going to give me pause to think to myself, well, if they weren't correct about what they were saying about this monumental issue, maybe I ought to think twice about another issue, which brings us back to using your own critical thinking skills, always doing your own research. That's never a bad thing. That's wisdom right there. That is the knowledge of something that will never change. It's always been true, and it always will be true. You don't want to be a lemming and just blindly follow people that are telling you to do something. That's why your parents say to you, if Billy jumped off a building, would you jump off a building too? That's them. That's your parent saying, think for yourself. So we got a situation here, right? I'm connecting the dots for you. All of these powerful, influential, educated, so-called expert type people telling us that it's safe and effective. They're telling us to take it. Then they're telling us to take it or you're a bad person. And now they're starting to tell us, like, okay, I took it and I got sick, but it got worse than that. We started seeing some problem. I want you to also, I can't move on without playing Fauci describing. He's saying the quiet part out loud. He's talking about the actual tactic of how they get compliance. And I want you to listen to this because this is very important that they never memory hole this one.
What you meant when you said making it hard for people to live.
without getting a vaccination. You affected people's ability to work.
It's Congressman Rich McCormick educated, questioning
to
him.
Actually flourish in American society, to self-determine, as we're all given God-given rights. Shame on you. You inspired and created fear through mask mandates, school closures, vaccine mandates that have destroyed.
Okay. So that was Congressman Rich McCormick questioning Fauci and playing that for him and pointing out that Fauci was actually using this tactic to try and force compliance. And that's what's going on here. And that's the critical thinking skill part that I'm asking you guys to look into is they first just tried to tell you using tactics of listen to our experts, follow the science, be a good person. And then they got more mean about it, that if you don't follow our instructions, you're being a, you know, you're being mean and a bad person and all this kind of stuff. And then when that didn't work, they had to resort to manipulation of our behavior by preventing us from moving around, preventing us from traveling, preventing us from going to work. It was either get vaccinated or lose your job. And, you know, they promised us that this was safe and effective, and then they mandated it. And then we started to see some of the negative stuff. And I'm going to play you. This is Tucker Carlson. This is taken from Tucker Carlson's show before he was let go by Fox. And this is Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx admitting that the vaccines were not fully studied and they didn't fully work. And this to me is just like, why are we not having a worldwide demand for Nuremberg type trials? I mean, I want to know what went down. I want to know the truth behind what was happening, because I want to make sure that we're not subjected to this again. And more than ever, I want my healthcare freedom. I want the ability to have a relationship with my doctor, knowing that my doctor's fidelity is to me, my well-being and that of my family's, and not to some corporate oligarch or some government bureaucrat. But I want you to listen to this, because this is really important when you connect all the dots. Stand by. Standing by.
Menstruating cycles and how that is affected by vaccines.
Yeah, though, well, the menstrual thing is something that seems to be quite transient and temporary. That's the point. That's one of the points. We need to study it more.
Oh, so this is Dr. Fauci on Brett Baer's show, and Brett Baer saying, hey, we're noticing the science is discovering that women are having difficulties with their menstrual cycles as related to the vaccine. And Fauci's like, well, I'm not really sure about that. We're going to have to study it more. I'm sorry. Did you guys not hear what I was playing you before, where they were telling you it's 100% safe and effective, that if you didn't take it, you know, you're a bad person, and that, you know, if we make it hard for you to live, you're going to lose your ideological BS. Do you remember that part? And now he's saying, well, we need to study it more.
Study it more. We need to study it more. It's just like human fertility, reproducing the species, the most important event in most people's lives. We need to study it more. Oh, but it's too late. We just forced millions of women to take that drug. Sorry. So how did they release a vaccine and then make it mandatory when they didn't understand the long-term effects of the drug? That's a very good question. Here's Deborah Birx. She's the former White House COVID response director, again on Fox News.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we
I'm sorry. I was all the way over here. It sounded like she said, I knew these vaccines were not going to protect us against infection. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How is it that we are memory-holing this? I have questions. As just a sentient being, a person with critical thinking skills, why am I going to be listening to any of these agencies? And more so, I demand that we have open investigations and find out what happened and get to the bottom of this. And more importantly, we need to restructure the way our healthcare system works, because clearly, the way it's set up, we cannot arbitrarily allow these people to have this kind of power over the lives of every person on the planet. These mistakes, in my estimation, are not honest mistakes. They're not even mistakes. It was part of a plan. And, you know, I just can't believe that people are willing to just move on with all of the problems that this caused, both medical, economic, social. It was devastating. We had the greatest economy in the last 50 years, and it completely got self-owned. We did it to ourselves. Let's listen to what else she has to say.
Overplayed the vaccines, and it made people then worry that it's not going to protect against severe disease and hospitalization. It will, but let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated.
She just said 50% of the people that were infected with the Omicron strain that died were vaccinated. This is just beyond the pale.
What? Stop the press.
Tucker can't believe it either.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection. Really, Deborah Birx? But somehow you forgot to mention that as people were being fired from their jobs for not taking this on the premise that if they took it, they would never be infected? When do you get criminally charged? Soon, we hope. And then there's the effect of the COVID vaccines on the elderly, the population most at risk. According to The Lancet, no less than, vaccinated people around Joe Biden's age are 80% more likely to become sick after taking the COVID shot as compared to unvaccinated.
So vaccinated people, according to The Lancet. So we talk about The Lancet on this show all the time, right? The New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, the two most prestigious and powerful and important medical journals on the face of the earth. So an article in a peer-reviewed journal, The Lancet, says that people Joe Biden's age are more likely to get infected if they're vaccinated. Have you heard that on the mainstream media anywhere? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Wait, what? 80% more likely to become sick after taking the shot that was supposed to prevent them from getting sick? How is this not the banner headline? It's being ignored. Well, as one scientist wrote in...
So if you're like me and you're sitting here thinking, if you're like me and you're sitting here thinking to yourself, I'm just a regular person and I'm just trying to use my critical thinking skills to get along in this world, I'm wondering... Tucker Carlson is one of the few people that was out there sort of sharing this information that I think is pretty blockbuster information that has a direct impact on the lives of, our fellow citizens throughout the world and in America, of course. So Tucker gets fired, right? And we're not allowed to talk about these things. And the agencies, the government three-letter agencies that are supposedly designed to be looking out for us, they don't do anything to bring this information to light, to correct the record, right? We talked about this with ivermectin, that the FDA went out on a campaign to discredit ivermectin and say it was dangerous. They had that infamous tweet that said, come on, y'all, you aren't horses. They got taken to court. And they were forced to take down the tweet and admit that ivermectin is an appropriate treatment for COVID. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait a second. Doesn't that mean we have to sort of revamp the way our healthcare system is organized? And also, if I'm using my critical thinking skills, you got these same media people that are telling me that there needs to be tampons in the boys' restroom, that the vaccine is safe and effective, that it works and all this kind of stuff. And then when the negative stuff happens, we don't see any contrition on their part. And then it makes me wonder about other things where they're telling me that, Trump is a bad guy every 5 seconds, that Trump is being indicted like every 5 minutes. But then when you go up and you talk to people and you ask them, okay, tell me what Trump's being indicted for, and they can't, but they're still vitriolic about, oh, he's the worst guy ever. But they can't articulate what's going on. It makes me say to myself, what is happening here? I have more questions. And I'm wondering why other people don't have more questions. And I'm hoping that by connecting the dots, we can start to get people to think critically and prevent these oligarchs from implementing any kind of strategy like this in the future. I want you to listen to this news report talking about the fact that the CDC is now going to start investigating strokes. This obviously is an older post, But it's still important to understand this happened after COVID.
So we are just getting word of this now. Regarding the COVID vaccine, the CDC is now saying that there has been enough cases of people who have had the vaccine, received the vaccine, and then suffered a stroke. The agency will now be investigating any potential links between the shots and strokes in some of those patients.
Okay.
So we are just getting word of this now.
So you've got the CDC saying that there have been enough reports of stroke, and there seems to be a connection there that they want to investigate that. Well, wait a second. I already played you that this montage of all of our experts, our leaders, our media people telling us that it was safe and effective, and then now they need to look at it about strokes. We had Deborah Birx saying, oh, I knew it didn't work. We had Fauci saying, oh, we'll have to look into that, the fertility issue. Yeah, I'm not really sure about that. That doesn't seem to me the way that this is supposed to work. So don't you have questions about what the media is reporting to you, about what the three-letter agencies are telling you, about what the public policy positions of our politicians are, and where is the money coming from? Why are they doing the things that they're doing? And when people ask questions, why are they getting canceled? Now, here's the FDA, the former FDA director, Peter Marks, and he's in up before Congress at a congressional hearing, and they're confronting him about the avalanche of VAERS reports. VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. They call it VAERS for short. So people report. I want you to listen to what he has to say. I also want you to hear his tone. Standing by.
As of February 2024, VAERS reports for COVID-19 vaccines total significantly higher than all other vaccines combined since 1990, as reported. This is a surprising figure.
Did you hear what he said? The VAERS reports for the COVID vaccine are greater than all of the VAERS reports for every other vaccine combined since 1990. That seems like something worth talking about, especially from these three-letter government agencies that are tasked with protecting us.
Dr. Marks, was the government prepared for such an avalanche of reports to VAERS? And it kind of goes with what we just mentioned.
So. Avalanche of reports.
Chair Wenstrup, thank you so much for that question. And I apologize about your name before. It shows when you're nervous, things can happen.
Okay, now I want to just talk to you about critical thinking skills. You see Marx's attitude there, oh, thank you so much for the question. I'm just a little nervous. You see his contrition here because he knows that what they did is indefensible, right? This is the behavior of somebody that's been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And this tone is a far cry from how they were when it's like, if you don't, you know, follow our instructions, you're committing a crime against humanity, right? The tone is very different. And I want you to use your critical thinking skills to understand what's going on here?
But the point is extremely well taken. We tried to be prepared for that, but the avalanche of reports was tremendous, and it again required retasking people on the fly I'll let my CDC colleagues speak to this. We had to usually staff up and had many meetings working to
So, you know, he's got nothing to say, right? So he's shucking and jiving. Whenever they're in front of these congressional hearings, they're always very careful the way they answer because they don't want to give any sound bites like, yeah, the CDC screwed up. So they always do these long kind of nuance, kind of not really answering the question. Now, two of the most egregious people – well, I'm going to skip that. I want to get on to – we're getting towards the end of the show, and I don't want to miss this, but – I want to play this Berkeley law professor that was getting questioned during a congressional hearing by Senator Josh Hawley. She's going to demonstrate a lot of these techniques that I was talking about earlier, where we can no longer debate the issues of the day because we can't even agree on what an apple is. And if you can't agree on what an apple is, you can't talk about anything more complex. But this is the world that we're descending into, and we got to learn how to spot this kind of stuff. We got to prevent people who think like this, who sound like this, who act like this from getting into positions of power, because that's how we end up with tampons in the boys' bathroom. I want you to listen to this exchange between a Berkeley law professor and Senator Josh Hawley. Standing by.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is...
You got the snark there? I think we can recognize that this affects other people other than just women. Come on, man. That women give birth, okay? Not all these other people. This is a Berkeley law professor, and she's very smug and very, condescending towards Senator Hawley for asking appropriate, normal questions.
What?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm a...
You see what's going on here? So I have a question about you making a statement that people other than women can give birth, and you're telling me that I'm racist and transphobic. See, they're trying to prevent you from having open discussion about anything.
Opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important.
Because of my line of questioning.
Okay, so junk science, they use it all the time. 1 out of 5 people, they're trying to give you this sense that you're somehow anti-science by giving you this bogus stuff. And as a scientist, every time somebody says something to me, like 97% of climate scientists agree, my first question is, show me the list of 100% of climate scientists. Because that is a flaw in your judgment right there, okay?
Because, so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by...
It's not an apple. This is an apple? No, it's not an apple. How do you even get on to the meat of the debate?
Are you?
If you're talking
are you?
About women
are you?
Having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
This is a Berkeley law professor. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? Do you understand the kind of power that this person has, the kind of influence they have on the future lawyers of America? I mean, Bolt Law School's one of the top law schools in the entire country.
No, I don't think so.
So you're denying that trans people like this thing.
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
No, no, no. They're allowed to question.
Opening-
I went to Berkeley, and I can guarantee tell you that is not too. If somebody like me said something like, Professor, I don't understand. Women are the only people who can give birth. Do you think she would – and you think that this person would entertain that conversation honestly – and truthfully and with an effort towards the truth. Now, after I've shown you all this stuff, them telling you that the vaccines are safe and effective, them browbeating you into taking it, them getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar, okay, it's dangerous and all this kind of stuff, you would think that they'd learned their lesson and that they would move on. But here is the CDC director, the new CDC director, after all of that, talking about the new vaccine coming out.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall. Right. So plan now.
Yeah.
Right? It's March. So you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall. You're going to get another updated.
That's right now. Okay. So listen, they're not going to stop. We have to be vigilant. We have to be critical thinkers out there. We have to, you know, understand when people are lying to us that we should take the next thing that they tell us with a grain of salt. Never, avoid doing your own research. That's so important. And the more important the issue, the more important it is that you do your own research. I hope I was able to connect some dots for you. Thank you for listening to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber. You're listening to me on America's Web Radio. Everybody have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. I'm out.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.